This is In This League Overtime. Some of the best from Chris Welsh and Scott Bogman on the In This League Podcast Network and FNTSY. Now it's time for OT. In This League.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In This League.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, not everything is perfect, and Madison Bumgarner, kind of a thing every year. If it's not one thing, it's another. I'd say the same thing goes for starting pitching. Oh, my God. More than anything, I would say, what the hell with the final, like, week of spring training?
It's especially, like, you know, we did our draft, and that was going up on Saturday night. And then, of course, all this stuff happened the next day. Like Souza was announced how long he's going to be out. He's going to miss till probably the middle of May. Madison Bumgarner got hit by the comebacker on his hand.
By Marcia your boy. Announced. Whit Merrifield.
Whit Merrifield. And what else has Samardzija got his stuff announced? Chris Sale got hit by a comebacker. Like, all this crap is happening. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember when I was on with Clay and James on Sirius when the update came through. When the update came through that he was going to be okay, Chris Sale, because there was this collective, like, in the morning, and everybody kind of got through it. But it's because Bumgarner kind of set the table for fear. And, I mean, what I kept thinking was, can you imagine having drafted less than like 24 hours or even hours prior to that happening? You know, because like NFBC drafts were going on as that was going on, and Bumgarner was going high, and it had a ripple effect on a lot of drafts. Let me ask you what you feel about this, and we'll talk a little bit about Bumgarner for a second. But one of the things I saw, I want to say it was Vlad Sedler, pointed out, I don't know if it was the main event or not, but after the Bumgarner injury, he said that all of a sudden, Kershaw and Scherzer, or maybe it was, I don't think it was Sale. It could have been Kershaw and Sale. It doesn't matter, but it was two of those guys. Went 3-4 overall in drafts. And he pointed out, like, this is the Bumgarner effect, that people are hoarding the elite starting pitching. But I looked at it and I was this is the exact reason I didn't want to pay for the high-end pitching. Was this, like, if I lose my number one, even though I went heavy pitching, and I am going to count on that number one even more, but if I got them in the fifth round, it's just less of a blow. I can try to make this work more than losing Chris Sale or Kershaw or Madison Bumgarner in the first two rounds. I thought it was a counterintuitive idea.
Yeah, I mean, did we not already know going into the season that some starting pitchers are going to go down?
Sure.
I mean, that's, you know, usually it's not because of taking a comebacker off of the hand. That's a freak thing, you know.
Bumgarner, by the way.
But it is freak things. I mean, a lot of people said that for years about Stanton, right? You know, he kept missing games, and everybody's like, it's a freak thing here, it's a freak thing there, you know, that kind of stuff.
Freakily.
But, and this is only 2 years in a row for Bumgarner. I don't think he missed much time at all before the last two seasons. But I don't know. He's cursed. You know, maybe that ATV was cursed. I have no idea. But
I mean, the Giants right now, man. I mean, losing Samardzija and Bumgarner on the precipice of the season to start when they went out and acquired guys like Longoria and McCutcheon. And now Johnny Cueto has been thrusted into the ace role for this team.
It's this division, too, because Justin Turner went out and Steven Souza got hurt as well.
Oh, good point.
So there's just a lot in the NL West that's been going on. And it's like you said, you know, I felt like we were having a fairly healthy spring up until this last week and a half has been insane with all the injuries.
Like, it's one of those things, like, we needed to go out and be like, you know, it's been a pretty healthy spring. And then, wham! You know, then it just...
We didn't say it this
year. I know.
We can't be blamed for it.
We should have. I feel like we should have. But Samardzija and Bumgarner, how are you treating them? I mean, drafts are over. I know somebody asked me over the weekend, like right as the Bumgarner stuff happened, where would you take him? My initial reaction with no knowledge of testing the theory out or seeing anything was around the between 120 and 150. That's where I said on Bumgarner. Like I needed to have at least three starting pitchers locked in. And I felt like when you start to get into that area of like John Gray and, you know, those type of guys, like if you wanted to take Bumgarner and squat on him, you could, because he'll be back, I think they're saying June or July.
I think that's the perfect. Yeah, it should be, you know, middle of June, I would guess. They said 4 to 8 weeks. So that puts you at 4 to 8 weeks, puts you at like, you know, the end of May, early June. But you always have to, with something like that, when it's surgery on a hand, you always have to account for setbacks and the fact that they're going to baby him. So probably I would say middle of June, early June. But yeah, I mean, you kind of get to that point, and it's funny, you know, with Bumgarner, because where I have John Gray ranked is about 38 as far as starting pitchers go. So you kind of have to, like, who would you rather have John Gray than, or I mean, Madison Bumgarner, you know, only 4 months of instead of 6 months over, you know what I mean? Would you rather have 4 months of Bumgarner over Garrett Richards? I mean, I think that kind of makes sense, because how many starts is Garrett Richards going to have anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, that
Sonny Gray.
Yeah, you're talking about the exact area. I wanted to push the limits a little bit. And like, I already feel like I know the answer to this, but I'm going to just throw it out here. Would you trade to acquire Bumgarner Luis Castillo?
You know, in a head-to-head, I might. You know, in a head-to-head, I would.
You would.
I'll say in a head-to-head, I would, because this is not a, it's not an elbow injury. So I think once he's back, he's back. He's good to go.
Is this a player debate to put out there? Like, who would you rather own? I mean, I feel
who would you rather have in the playoffs, though? You know what I mean? I would rather have Bumgarner in the playoffs than Luis Castillo. I love Luis Castillo, but he's still an unproven commodity.
So, like, how would you approach that question? Would it be, I mean, because I think the general consensus
six months of Samardzija or of Bumgarner versus 4 months of Luis Castillo?
Opposite. You mean 6 months of Castillo and 4 months of Bumgarner?
That's what I said. Yeah, sure. I told you I'm hungover. I apologize.
Okay. Just get more of that greasy Whataburger in you. Did you get a double-double?
Don't worry. Oh, yeah.
A triple.
I'm going to go Super Nachos after the show here. That's what
You're not going to go, and they're going to ask you, be like, are you a card member? And be like, yes, now I am.
I did that again. I'm like, no.
Never.
Because it's just, it's committing. Like I said, it's, you know, yep, here's my card. It says, I see you're here, the fatty.
Yep, the fatty.
Congratulations. But yeah, 6 months of Luis Castillo versus 4 months of Madison Bumgarner. I think that's how you would have to word that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's I guess it would just be putting an offer out there. I mean, I don't even know if it's worth. I mean, I could put a poll out there right now and we could review it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So what's the question? So it's,
who would you rather have for 2018? Madison Bumgarner, say, with hand injury, Luis Castillo.
Okay, so I'll say 4 months of Bumgarner or 6 months of Luis Castillo.
Is that right? April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, that's right.
Does that sound right?
Yep, that's good.
Would you rather have for 2018 fantasy baseball? And I'll put Bogman on it. So we'll see. We'll see what the results are of this. So there you go. 4 months of Madison Bumgarner, 6 months of Luis Castillo. Bing, bang, boom. We'll see what the votes come in. I feel like this is going to be this is a guess here with no votes in yet because I just hit the button. I'm going to say 65% Luis Castillo.
Yeah, and you know, I absolutely see the side of that. I think for maybe even for Roto, but definitely for head-to-head, at the end of the year, I would rather have Madison Bumgarner than Luis Castillo in any format, and I'm a Castillo guy. So,
yeah,
by the way, emailed Fantrax, or Fantasy Pros, because their Fantrax ranking of Luis Castillo is still in the 900s, and no change.
Ah,
so
okay. Good on them. Good.
I'm trying.
You're trying. Good on Fantasy Pros. Thanks for checking.
They wanted me. I think they wanted me to send a screenshot, and I was. I'm like, I'm at a wedding. Figure it out. It's not that hard.
Like you could just go and do it. It's your job, right?
Yeah,
that's what you guys do.
Yeah. Exactly.
The other kind of big. I mean, there's multiple pieces of big news here. More injuries to cover. But the other big piece of news I thought was the Scott Kingery news, where I think this is another good shot that you and I had, Bogman, especially leading up to these final drafts. We really hit it home that Kingery was along the lines of one of those players that you draft. You draft Kingery, you draft Senzel, you draft Acuna, you draft Willie Calhoun. Probably could draft AJ Puck, but maybe that's looking less likely and less positive. Well, Scott Kingery signed like a 6-year, you know, buying him out of these arbitration years contract. That's all that it was. Like, don't even, you shouldn't really concern yourself. Like, good for him for getting some money and whatnot. But all he did was buy out his arbitration years, which makes the whole call-up thing completely irrelevant. It doesn't make any of it relevant. So much so, he cracked the roster. He doesn't even have a spot on this roster yet. But they are putting him on the opening day roster, which could put him in a what seems likely like a super utility role at this moment because he doesn't have a spot. He could take over for Franco. Maybe he could take over for Luis Castillo. I suppose we could see that as well. Or not Luis Castillo. Sorry, I was thinking about our player.
Who's hungover now?
Yeah, Cesar Hernandez. He could take over for Cesar Hernandez or Mikel Franco, but I kind of see him almost like how the Diamondbacks use Chris Owings. Like, I think they, because they tried him out in a lot of places. And I think,
or how about how the Cubs use Ian Happ?
Great point. That's a even much better analogy. I think there's going to be something along those lines where he will play enough to surpass 400 at bats this year. You know, maybe it's kind of like the Javier Baez, you know, from a year or two ago, where he'll get in that 400 bat range, and he's going to be a super valuable tool. So I hope you guys drafted him. I've got him in our NL only league, which is going to be huge, and I stashed him, and I wish I got him in more places. I would say if you had a last little bit of a chance, I know the cost might be up there. I would still love to try to go get him if you could go swing a trade. Maybe someone's not paying attention enough. Yep. You know, oh, he's super utility, doesn't have a spot. I would try to go get Scott Kingery right now because, I mean, when I talk about bold predictions, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, I wouldn't be afraid to put a 2020 marker on Kingery this year. I really wouldn't.
You know who Scott Kingery is for me? He's going to be my guy that I take at the end of my Rube League. Because no one's paying attention.
Oh,
that's what Kingery is for me. Just like Bellinger was last season.
Yeah, no, so. Yeah, I like that. Well, I mean, and you know, that was kind of everyone's question this year. Everyone was like, "Well, who are the rookies that are going to get the time? How am I going to get this going?" And the best things we said, I think I even one of our guys. I'm completely forgetting. Jake. Jake had hit me up and he was like, who are some, who are
from
some rookies? Yeah, Jake, the exact same Jake we're talking about. He was like, who are some rookies in the NL, in an NL only league? He's like, I got Senzel, I got Robles, and I was like, Kingery. And he was like, oh, Kingery, I forgot about. And I don't remember if he got him, but Jake, I sure hope you did because he's going to pay off. And he's out there and it made a bunch of big news. And I like this idea. I wish more teams would. I wish the MLBPA would just get rid of this bull crap.
Yeah, I mean, that needs to be negotiated in the next, you know. It's kind of like tanking in basketball. You know, tanking is a huge problem in basketball. The same thing needs to be figured out in baseball because you should just be putting out your best 25 players whenever they're your best 25 players. This service time shouldn't matter. It should be like, look, when they come up, it doesn't, you know, it's not gonna be 2 weeks or 1 week or whatever. It's just that's when it starts, period, end of story.
Well, speaking of which, what was really interesting about that is to that the Cardinals made that move with Yarrow Munoz. I hope I'm saying his name correct.
Munoz,
but he's a former A's prospect who they had picked up in a trade, and he killed the spring. He did fantastic. You know, 333, three homers. He was just rocking it. I thought his spring stats were a little bit bigger, but they were still, I mean, he did really, really good this year. So much so that he made the roster. And he didn't even, I don't think he had a solidified spot, but he was the best player to get on the roster, and they wanted him on there, and he made the freaking team, which I think is fantasy wise, I would see him more as a like an NL only guy. But, you know, right, there's still value there. So sometimes it does pay off. A whole bunch of other news, though. A couple of the other injuries. We already talked about Chris Sale. Greg Bird.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed, man, because this is, you know, I wrote up Greg Bird in the book, and I kind of saw the ankle injury was bothering him in the first half. The second half, he hit, you know, his average isn't great, but he's got tons of power. That lineup is awesome. And it's just unfortunate for something like this to happen this early in the year. Luckily for the Yankees, they have 8,000 guys that can replace him. So, that's nice. But, I'm happy now that this is a zero shares player for me, because I talked him up a little bit too much. So
you know what, have we gotten a whole bunch of word from them yet at this moment? Because I've got an idea I wish they would do, because the latest thing I see is, what the hell is today that we're recording? This is the 25th. Last thing I saw was results from an MRI and CT scan showed right foot inflammation. And they said he was going to be reevaluated on Monday when you're listening to this. And they'll let you know more about his opening day status, which there's an ominous feel. I've got a perfect solution. And I would just put this out there to last minute drafters and for anybody that could do some pickups or anything like that. This is pure speculation, and it may be dead by the time you're listening to this. Neil Walker to first, Gleyber Torres back up to second.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I'm looking at. That's what I would like. Worst case, you could also move Drury to second and bring up Andujar. But I like putting – well, yeah, I mean, Andujar could go to first as well. There's another sneaky thing to think about.
Okay.
You know, Andujar could do that, but
Which one are you more confident in, Andujar or Torres?
Fantasy-wise?
Well, just for whoever gets the job-wise.
I mean, I love Torres. I'm a Gleyber Torres guy.
Okay, so Torres, you think, is more likely to start the season, you know, if they do DL Greg Bird.
Yeah, that I'm saying.
This isn't just like, yeah, you've got some really bad athlete's foot.
It felt ominous. It felt kind of ominous.
It does. You know why it does is because it's Greg Bird.
Yeah.
And he had the shoulder problem, and then he had the ankle problem, and now he has this foot problem. So that is a guy. I mean, Madison Bumgarner had an ATV accident and got his hand hit by a line drive. It seems like Bird has all these, you know, tissue issues.
Tissue issues. I like that. It should be a shirt. I would be looking at Andujar and Gleyber Torres for this, because I don't think Yankees would do it, and I don't know if Andujar's really done much first, but that would solve an issue because he's kind of blocked in general. Or I think Neil Walker has plenty of the ability to come over and play first, and then they can get Gleyber Torres in the lineup.
You're listening to In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League podcast network. Find all their shows and more of what you've heard at InThisLeague.com.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You're listening to In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League podcast network. Find all their shows and more of what you've heard at InThisLeague.com.
Let's talk fantasy baseball.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League. Oh.
Well, it's always a beautiful time right around the last 2 weeks, because it's bold prediction time, where people come out in droves. All the fantasy analysts with their biggest, boldest ideas for this coming season. And they're just praying that the SEO and the analytics just bury their articles towards the end of the season when people try to find them. I know that I saw an interesting one. I kind of bought in a little bit, and I'm going to follow it. Jeff Zimmerman, he's at FanGraphs and also does the Launch Angle podcast with our buddy Rob Silver over at Fantrax. He had one which was wild, and I think our boy Sammy Reed commented on it, where he said, I wish I pulled it up, but I remember one of the guys. He said Luis Perdomo of the San Diego Padres would have a better fantasy season. And if I remember correctly, it was Dallas Keuchel and Marcus Stroman were the two players. And Sammy was like, whoa, that's a
Luis
wild prediction.
Perdomo.
Yeah.
Okay. How many peeps do you think he would bet on that?
I would love to know.
I'm not going to bet against Dallas Keuchel anymore. I mean, look, Perdomo, 24 years old. I mean, obviously, there's all kinds of opportunity for him you know, in that rotation in San Diego, but he doesn't look like he's anything really special. He's 8-11 last season.
He can put a bunt down pretty well. I was watching the bunt drills for the pitchers over at Peoria Sports Complex about a week ago. It was Lamet and I think I'm trying to remember who the hell else it was, but he was there and he was putting down a mean bunt.
I mean, okay, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah, that's
so
one.
Keuchel's
not bunting.
If something happens,
Stroman's not bunting. Maybe that's what it's about. Maybe it's because Perdomo's going to be out there hitting.
I don't like the bunting thing because you're much more likely to get a finger cracked in half doing that. No. But 8-11 last season, 118 strikeouts to 65 walks. His ERA was 4.67, and his xFIP was 4.24. So I don't know. I don't know much about Luis Perdomo. So.
That's a bold prediction. That's what you call
sinker
a bold
and
prediction.
Curve. 95% of his pitches last year
sounds like a reliever to me. Tristan Cockcroft is always fun to check. Didn't he have like an awesome one last year that people were just like murdering him about?
Oh yeah. We have some bold predictions here, but Cockcroft's are like bold.
Well, here's a couple from his 2018 article. You can go check it out on ESPN. Tristan Cockcroft, well respected, and he does stuff better than anybody. But this is also why we don't put our predictions down on paper. We just make sure you have.
We don't
a recording
put our ball bag on the line.
No. Yeah. We just flaunt it in front of you. We don't set it down. Javier Baez and Addison Russell will combine to hit 50 home runs. That is one of his bold predictions. That's kind of bold.
I mean, how do you think that breaks down? The like Baez 35 and Russell 15?
I think it's like Baez 30 and Russell 20.
Okay.
How about this one?
I mean,
yeah.
All right.
Greg Bird will hit more homers than Aaron Judge.
When did that come out? Did he have any reasoning? Was it Judge's shoulder? Was it he loves Greg Bird? Does it just say that? Can you scan through real
nothing.
Quick?
It says nothing. It says Greg Bird will hit more homers than Aaron Judge, period.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see a couple others. We'll just we'll have fun with this. Oh, this one. This one is fantastic, Bogman. I wonder where this will set us off. Patrick Corbin will effectively replicate his 2013 final season numbers, finishing among the top 25 starting pitchers on the player radar.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Oh, check this. This is the last one. The Diamondbacks leader in saves this season will be Greg Holland.
That's who it was. Remember, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I can't remember if it was on this show or on FNTSY that I was talking about that.
That's it.
Yeah, that was, and he has had no, like, how would you predict that? Like, I get all the other bold predictions could be, like, those are all possible, but Greg Holland not even talking to the Diamondbacks yet.
No. Well, no, they are. There was a rumor that the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks.
Dude, I didn't hear one thing of anybody saying Greg Holland was talking to the
Diamondbacks. I saw it two days ago. I saw that there is constant conversation.
But didn't this come out before longer than 2 days ago?
This article?
Yeah.
This article came out on the 20th. So, I mean, I saw it probably. I mean, I haven't seen this article until, like, we're talking about it right now. Because I typed in bold predictions for us doing the show. But there was, I did see a couple days ago, I don't know if it's Craig Mish or somebody was reporting that Greg Holland was keeping tabs with some of these other teams. The problem was that most of them kind of felt priced out. Holland, I pray to God, by the way, when we get to our shares, pray to God this isn't one of those cases where somebody waits till June. I'm hoping somebody just pulls the trigger. You know, I hope they just pull the trigger, bring him in. Hopefully it's not the Diamondbacks because that's a double dip. I'd like it to be the Cardinals. But that's what bold predictions are all about. Jonathan Villar will steal 40 bases again. He's got that here.
I like that one.
Yeah, there's a bunch on here. Some crazier than others.
And I've been, I've just seen on the Reddit stream for fantasy baseball, just every bold prediction article, and everybody has something that seems absolutely nuts. But, every year's somebody's going to be right about something.
It's kind of it's just like throwing shit at a wall, and like what's going to stick? Like it's going to stain. We're all going to leave a stain. But is any of it going to stick? I don't feel like I did that analogy right.
I mean, I don't know if you're really having
an S at a fan. Is it S at a fan?
No, S hits the fan is when everything crazy happens.
Is it going down a creek? There's a lot of analogies, by the way. Sorry for the bleeping here.
That's enough times you said.
All right, I'm sorry.
But no, I think it's just, sometimes.
S happens?
If people say this about rankings, like sometimes it's just you're doing this for attention. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting here saying Cockcroft has it. He already gets more attention than anybody else. He doesn't need to do this for attention. But I think some of them.
I mean, maybe Matthew Berry, but.
Are for attention, absolutely, because it's like, well, you think that, what did he say? Luis Perdomo, guy who is the last starter for the Padres, is going to be better than Marcus Stroman. Like,
I mean, there's no better clickbait than this type of stuff. You lead with it. Everyone wants, hey, we're all.
It's BuzzFeed and then, bold prediction.
I mean, here's the hope. Nobody remembers when you get it wrong. Everyone remembers when you nailed it. That's the hope here. So
no, never happened.
Bogman and I, we put together some bold predictions. Now, I'll be honest with you. We are pragmatists, if you will, with this type of stuff. Like, I just don't want to,
we're just
stuff.
Not extremely bold. I think that's the way to say it. I mean, we're fairly bold, but not like we don't have Luis Perdomo winning the Cy Young.
No, well, we don't do that. But like, also at the end of the day, sometimes I look at this stuff and it's just like, I don't know, man. A lot of the bold stuff comes near the bottom. Patrick Corbin, that is a crazy call, but it's like, substantiate some of that for me. Like, I think Patrick Corbin could be better this year. I think Robbie Ray, a semi-bold prediction, Robbie Ray is the number one Diamondbacks fantasy starter. I don't know how bold that is, and I would substantiate it by the drop in velocity.
It would be way more bold. Yeah, it'd be way more bold, before spring training.
Yeah, I've got some. I think Mookie Betts could finish. To be honest with you, I think Mookie Betts could finish as the top overall fantasy player this year.
I have to stop and tell you this. I have
Did
MLB
he just get
Network
hurt?
On. No. I have MLB Network on, and they're interviewing Kenta Maeda, and his translator couldn't have a bigger head. It is. I have to take a picture of it, dude. It's the biggest dome I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what is wrong with this guy. So I'm going to take a picture.
Bobblehead?
Dude, his forehead.
Stewie?
It kind of looks like Stewie. His forehead is incredibly big.
Take a picture. Are you taking a picture?
I'm taking a picture right this second. This dude's head. I don't know what is wrong.
Bold prediction. That guy's smart.
Camera angle. He's a translator.
He knows multiple languages. Yeah.
So I'm going to send this to you, and I want to hear your reaction because I've just never seen a dude with a larger cranium.
Is this going to be one of those things where you put the camera above the TV that people do, so the guy's head looks extra big?
I don't think I know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
You'll do the angle of your camera kind of low or high over the TV.
Oh, I see. Forced perspective.
So a text just came in from Scott Bach. What the fuck? Sorry, I just cussed. I'm so sorry. Look at my this picture you see. This is the best picture you've ever seen. My his eyes are kind of going to the left, and he's like, what's with this guy's head? This guy, I mean, we're just being mean here, but he looks like, what is that villain movie that Will Ferrell did where he's a big blue guy? I need to know what it is now. Will Ferrell.
Blue guy.
Animation. Yeah, it's like a Megamind. Megamind. That's what it is.
Okay.
Go click on Megamind. Type that in and look. Type it in. Type in
Everybody
Megamind.
Everybody probably thought I was being sarcastic.
Type in not. Megamind. Type it. You have to type it in. Type in Megamind.
Megamind?
Look at a picture of him.
Megamind. All right, all right.
This guy was bald.
Oh my god.
This is the worst camera angle.
Oh,
oh no, you'd have to tweet that out when the episode drops, by the way. All right.
I'm putting in the baseball room right now.
Oh, thank you, Megamind. Okay, so back to it killed me. Back to the bold predictions, where, you got to have the substantiation to it, especially some of the wild ones. But, I think, Mookie Betts, I think he could be the top overall player, or, if I wanted to be more safe about it, top three. But how bold are those? What people want is the article that says, I'm just looking for, the right player. Ozzie Albies finishes as a top 25 overall player with a 15 and 35 stolen base season with 100 runs, and that's what people want. And I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, that's cool. They happen. That one, I actually want to kind of be on the opposite end of it. But we'll play around with some bold predictions. We'll see. We'll monitor these. If we have a board whore, which I don't know, board whore just we didn't fire the last one, but maybe we just didn't pay him, so the board whore just disappeared. That mysterious
person. I can't
even
remember who it was. Juniman the last one, or do we have someone after Juniman?
We just have we have nobody. They don't exist.
Because Juniman was, I mean, he filled an important role in helping us edit.
I'm saying the board whore is like a mascot. You know how, like, it's always Baxter, but there's like 1,000 different people that have that job in a season? Like, that's how the board whore
By
is.
The way, you know there's an application for it right now.
Dude, I saw it. I saw that they're doing that. Can you imagine you or I in that suit?
No. They'd have to make about 6 times bigger for me to get in there. And then I would die of a heart attack because it's just going to be way too hot.
You and it would look like Garfield.
It would look like Garfield. Yeah. If coming from this guy, I'm sure it'd look way better on you.
No, mine would look creepy. Mine would look like, it looked more like a bear. It would be too ridiculously creepy. All right. We've got some bold predictions, though. We put some together. Boldish. I think they're decent here. So why don't you kick us off here? Because speaking of Patrick Corbin, and I mean, I don't know if you can beat it. I don't think you can, because what's his face? Crockcroft says Patrick Corbin will be a top 25 overall starting pitcher. Your first bold prediction is around Patrick Corbin.
It is. Top 25, like, I wouldn't be that shocked if he snuck in there. I mean, he would have to beat out, like, David Price, John Lester, Luis Castillo, Tanaka, Paxton, Garrett Cole. Like, he'd have to be in this type of a range. So I could see him getting in there. But what I said, and I don't know how it shakes out, but what I said was, according to the player rater or rankings or whatever, however you want to look at it, Patrick Corbin is the number 2 ranked pitcher on the Diamondbacks at the end of the season. So between, Greinke, Ray, Corbin, I mean, Walker's also really good, and Godley's had a killer spring, that Corbin is going to be the number 2.
Okay. I like that one. I mean, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to hold you to that one.
I mean, top 25, I think him being number 2, if Ray and Greinke are good, that puts him in the top 25. So I don't know that me and Cockcroft are too different in that prediction.
So this is why the Diamondbacks won the World Series, because Patrick Corbin.
Not because Pat, well, because the rotation's really good.
Because you're Baxter.
You know, we're not there yet, so why don't you read off yours?
Okay. My first one... I mean, this is wild that this even came to my mind here. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure how much I believe it just because of everything I saw. But I'll break it down why I'm going to go with this. Shohei Ohtani will finish as a top.
Shohei Ohtani.
Sorry, I'm just like, I looked down at my phone.
I'm the hungover one.
But I mean, I looked down at my phone and the picture of the guy was just so big. And I was trying not to laugh while you were talking. I apologize. Shohei Ohtani finishes as a top 25 starting pitcher and stops hitting halfway through the season. That is my bold prediction.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but somebody, Chad in our army here, said my wife literally just stopped the conversation we were having to say that guy's head was gigantic.
It's so huge. And if you zoom in on the picture, the girl, she looks like she's trying not to laugh right now.
That's Alana Rizzo. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah, she does look like that.
She looks like she's trying to hold it in.
It looks like her and Maeda
like
are
they're
having
in on a joke
about how gigantic this dude's melon is.
They look at each other and they're like, sheesh, what is
so,
going
okay,
on here?
So, I'm sorry. Shohei Ohtani he finishes as a top 25 starting pitcher, but he quits hitting.
He quits hitting halfway through the season.
So Yahoo had it right.
Maybe. Now, I'm torn on this, but I have said that I think, you know, from an overall perspective in redraft, I've kind of wanted to avoid. But here's what I will tell you. The hitting was so much worse than I had anticipated, like early on. when we saw, you know, like BP and stuff like that, right, when he came out.
Well, it's nuts because he won the home run derby in Japan, right? Like, well,
he can hit fastballs. That's
dude
the thing.
Can hit.
Well, when we saw the BP stuff, I remember. Do you remember? I feel like I was with you.
You were
watching the video recording when he was hitting. We were like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, we were recording the show.
It was, someone posted it on Twitter. Like, some guy snuck in. I mean, the swing looked pretty sweet.
It looked pretty nice, and he was rocking around. His first game hitting, I think he got a single, and he walked twice, and that was good. And then, dude, when I saw him in the videos up on our YouTube, the youtube.com/inthisleague, I was just like, what's going on here? It's continuously gotten bad.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In This League Overtime. Want more? Go to inthisleague.com. Here's Bogman and the Welsh.
Let's talk fantasy baseball.
So my second one is El Torito, also known as Odubel Herrera, who, if you did buy the book, if you got to Odubel Herrera's section, and we talked about this on the Secret Show, this mistake happened, and I just didn't want to tell the Welsh to fix it, but Odubel was corrected to El Torito, which I believe means the young bull or small bull, something like that. But I thought it was a perfect
small forehead
anyway. All right. So not that guy.
Not that guy.
So El Torito is Odubel Herrera, and I have him as a top 15 outfielder for 2018.
Ooh, I like that. Like, let me look at my outfielders real quick, because at 15, I've got like Starling Marte, 14 Nelson Cruz, if he qualifies. You got Rhys Hoskins at 16. So are you saying he's going to surpass Byron Buxton?
He's going to pass some of these guys here. So, like, he's going to have to finish ahead of, you know, at
maybe
least
Ozuna,
one of these guys.
Upton, yeah. Those type of guys.
Yeah, Hoskins, Buxton, K-Riss Davis, Billy Hamilton, Tommy Pham. Like, he's in that neighborhood. But I really like this lineup for Philly, especially adding Kingery and going with the better players. And Odubel Herrera is supposed to hit .300 for the Phillies. So he's hitting in front of Hernandez and Santana, and behind Hoskins and Williams and Kingery. So I like that. I like that lineup in Philly, and I think he's going to get the green light from Kapler again that he wasn't getting last year. So he's going to be able to steal bases and drive in runs and be driven in. So I really like Odubel Herrera this season.
I like that. I like El Torito for sure. My second one, also an outfielder, I'm going to go with Lewis Brinson, my guy who I was all about drafting, though. Dude, I mean, I think I got one share of him. I was not able to get in on the share, sadly. But I think, and my bold prediction will be that Lewis Brinson finishes the season with a 20-20 stat line. 20 homers, 20 stolen bases. I'd throw in 80-plus runs. RBIs, I think, could be very, very serviceable. And unlike the Steamer projections, I think he could hit over 260, which would close him in to being like a top, yeah, like a five-tool prospect. But what it also probably do is share Byron Buxton type of stuff, which would probably make him a top 60 overall player. I mean, the stats would justify it. I would see him as like a top 60, 50 overall player next season.
And you know, I like that one because, you know, he can struggle. It's not like he's up, you know, keeping a spot warm, or, you know, they're in contention or anything. Like, you know, the dude can struggle and stay up. So that's going to be the best thing about Lewis Brinson. And hitting leadoff for Miami, you know, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's still a leadoff hitter. And it's kind of like with the three and the four hitters, too. There's only 30 of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I got one for you. How about this?
Okay.
Bet line on this one. El Torito finishes top 15 and Brinson finishes top 20. They have to hit those lines if one of them gets it. Okay, so and it's standard 5x5 ranking for Herrera.
Right. We'll just use the Yahoo or player. Let's just use the player rater. that ESPN does. I think they're basically the same anyway. I don't think there's much difference at all, but we'll just say ESPN's
player. Well, listen, if he was like 16 on ESPN and 15 on Yahoo, we'd give that to you. We'd give that to you.
What's the difference?
Yeah, okay. But if Brinson hits, and Brinson hits 20-20, that's very easy to calculate. So, boom, two bets right off the bet.
All right. So, my next one here is Carlos Gomez is a 2025 player this season, meaning 20 bombs and 25 stolen bases. He hasn't hit 20 homers since 2014 with the Brewers, and that was also the last year he stole over 20, 34. The last couple years, 12 and 17, 13 and 18, and 17 and 13. So I love Carlos Gomez. I have many, many shares of him that we're going to talk about in the next section here. But I like a dude, hitting in the middle of the lineup. And I like the stolen base opportunities because the Rays are going to be bad. They're going to have to run. Those bad teams generally give the green light to their players. So I know he's a little bit older, but this is a dude that stole 40 bases a couple times. So I really like Carlos Gomez this year. And he's going way, way, way down there in drafts. So he's a great value. I got a lot of shares of him. He's kind of my guy this season.
I like it. I've got a pairing here. My third bold prediction is two of my outfield favorites to draft this year, especially when you're trying to get a little bit later speed, but overall good production. Manny Margot and Bradley Zimmer outperform Lorenzo Cain and Domingo Santana, two Brewers who are going inside the top 100. Santana edging it a little bit. Margot and Zimmer outperform combined those two players. I might be even willing to say Margot outperforms Lorenzo Cain this year.
So
from a player ranker standpoint,
over I'm on board with that one.
Okay,
I can go with that one.
I think Margot
Cain's had some injury stuff in the past too. So
yeah, I mean that's definitely possible. I mean Zimmer, I like the 15-30 marker for Zimmer and Margot. I really think with the power. I think he could hit 20. I think Margot could be one of those 2025 guys, like you said with Carlos Gonzalez. So, I mean, I could see these guys combined. If I wanted to be like Crockcroft, I could say Margot and Zimmer combined for 50 stolen bases and, 35 homers, 30 homers, 30 and 50 be a combined.
Man, okay.
Let's do that. 30-50 combined.
All right. My last one here, and I think our last ones are our biggest ones, right? So
pretty much.
I'm going to go with Alex Bregman finishes over Trey Turner on the player radar. And this is a little bit of both. Like, you know, I know a lot of people can be like, well, do you love Bregman or do you hate Turner? And I think it's a little bit of both. Look, I wanted to get something surrounded around Trey Turner here because I'm very surprised people are putting him at three when the dude hasn't played 100 games in the bigs in a full season yet. So he's had two cracks at it, hasn't cracked 100 games. And it's just, is this dude really going to stay healthy? So, and I like Alex Bregman to take even a higher step this season.
With Turner, by the way, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's interesting fine. Because he's one of those few guys that can play 100 games and still finish like top 40 on the player.
Yeah. Record. Yeah, he absolutely is. So I love the lineup. I love both these guys' lineups really. This one, I guess if I had to lean one way or the other, it's a little bit more of a push down on Trey Turner than it is of a bump up on Bregman. But I also I can just say this right now. I also would not be surprised if Trey Turner, you know, he plays 150 games and he's the number one player. You know, if this is going to be a dude that can hit 20 homers and steal 50 bases, then obviously he's going to be an amazing asset. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's not worth the first round pick. He absolutely is. But I think Bregman is still, you know, kind of making a name for himself. And he made a nice adjustment last season and got even better. And I think we could see even more of that. Dude's a really, really hard worker. All you got to know about Bregman is don't DM him.
Because
he will ruin your day.
He will ruin your day. He'll try to ruin everything. My last one, it's going to be a Red Sox versus Yankees. And I'm going to go with a combo again. And I'm going to say Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi finish higher from an overall combined ratio than Stanton and Judge combined. Now we're looking at like player rate. Obviously, I'm not going to say they're going to hit more homers, but from an overall rank perspective, I will take Betts and Benintendi over Stanton and Judge for this season, which is a pretty, pretty big, tall order. But I told you before, I think Betts could finish top two, three, or one overall on the player rank and Raider. And I think Benintendi is going to have a killer season as well. I think Stanton's going to do what he does, but I think Judge is going to taper down. So if you've got, you know, Stanton at five overall, Betts at three overall, I think Benintendi could finish in the top 30, and I think Judge could finish. I think Judge could finish outside the top 50. So from that perspective,
yeah, I mean, if
boom,
yeah, he's got the shoulder injury. I mean, in his second half was so bad. I just, you know, a lot like how Trey Turner could play, you know, 100 games and finish the top 40. Judge is still going to be way up there because even if he hits 220, that power's not going.
Oh,
anywhere.
I got another bold prediction. Mike Zunino finishes over Wilson Contreras this year. Boom!
And it's gone.
How much? How much?
Oh, no, I'm not going to do it.
I'll bet any amount of anything you want.
I mean, I might take homers if we just went simply strictly homers.
No. I'm not going to do just homers. Give me a break. Like, the only thing Zunino has going for him is power.
Okay.
Of course. Like, I'm going to take the Billy Hamilton over Steven Souza in stolen bases if you want to do
that. Well, I mean, now you're just being dumb. Like, Turner and Bet. No, Turner and Hamilton is a good stolen base one. Zunino's a power guy.
Yeah.
A little bit average.
Okay. I'll bet whatever you want, and I'll give you 3-1. So if it's three bulbs of garlic versus one, I'll take Contreras over Zunino on the player rater.
I'll squat on that one for a little while. By the way, update, we are officially at my prediction, 65% Luis Castillo to 35% Madison Bumgarner, and that's where we are currently sitting. So it did even out a little bit, and we are right at the number that I thought it would be. I wouldn't be shocked if it even tapers down to around the 60-30, but you know, some of the Bumgarner people are coming out, but it kind of shows you where the value system is. And I mean, I'm kind of with you, Boggs. There's a part of me that, pending what my pitching staff look like, I might be willing to pay the price. Just went to 66-34%, but there are still Bumgarner believers, 35% of them, 34% to be.
And they're all late nighters.
Ooh, they are late nighters. Good call. That's more.
The later the night gets, the more they come out.
All right. Shares.
On their ATVs.
Shares. We drafted a whole bunch of teams, and we took a look at our teams, and we were able to compile some of the players that we own the most shares of. And you guys will get to decide, did we follow through with some of our belief system and some of the players we talked about, and how the hell did this all happen? So here we go.
It's In This League.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for
In This League?
Answer me! Suck my white ass!
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Always love that rejoin, and you can always you can catch all those great things because it's from our radio show. If you guys haven't listened before, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, you guys should listen Saturdays, 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Every single week, you can catch 3 hours of Bogman and the Welsh. We will probably be talking heavy baseball. So if, the Monday and Thursday pod didn't do it for you, you got more hours over on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So listen in live every Saturday. Love to have you. All the wacky craziness that goes on. We like to do lots of player debates and just more extended coverage. So drafts. We're not even done. I think just on Fantrax alone, I did like six. I think, you know, we had the ALNL, we had the Roto Points, I got the Invitational, we got the Crybaby Roto League, and then I'm personally doing a Bourbon League. We've got our two dynasties, and then we've got two more that are going on. A lot of leagues.
Yeah, that's 11 baseball leagues.
It's a lot of leagues. And we haven't even compiled all the shares technically yet. Because of the Champs League is completely open. The Champs League is anything with one keeper league. Like, I know in the big Bogman keeper league, which my team is lit.
It's really good. My team is not lit.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're still in that, like, trying to rebuild mode, though you still have old players. You're trying to rebuild, but you cannot let go of McCutchen and David Price.
Well, I mean, I just won't get anything for him, so.
Yeah, I mean, you get stuff and things.
Maybe.
Maybe a little bit.
So, I did have to decide between McCutchen and Pham, and I stuck with McCutchen.
Did you really? You put Pham back?
Yeah, I put Pham back. So, but I pick four. I'm probably get him. So.
Oh, you pick four. Okay. I got six. And
I think if I let McCutchen go, he might have gone back, but there we'll have to see. We'll update that later in the week.
Yeah. Ooh, good call. All right. So shares of all these leagues, I've already lost the number of how many. Is that nine maybe that we're calculating here that we're going through? I think mine are nine leagues. You know what? I just realized I'm not even counting the I'm doing the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational that you're not a part of.
Yep.
That's another one.
That's another one. That's crazy. I only have 11.
Yeah. So I win.
Great.
Game over. I got players in there. I got Blackman. I got a couple shares of Charlie Blackman now that I didn't put on this list now that I'm thinking about it. I think I got...
Who do you have the most shares of? I don't want to talk about your CBS team I wasn't invited to.
All right. Yeah. What's the highest amount of shares? Lost my voice there. Sorry. I got so excited about the shares, my voice went out. What is the physical number of the single player or players that you have
five
the most shares?
For really? Five is the most I had of anybody.
Six is the highest for me.
Oh.
So I went again. How good is your player that you have five
He's
shares
the worst
of?
Worst player I have multiple.
Okay, like how bad? Like how bad?
No one else will have. I think he's probably less than 1% owned.
And you have the most shares of that guy.
I just keep taking him in the last round of every draft I do.
Okay, who is it?
It's Juan Mania, relief pitcher. He's actually 7% owned. Now look, we have a ton.
It's like
of deep
the seventh
leagues.
Inning guy.
And to be honest. I skipped a league, so I actually do have him in six leagues.
Oh, do you really?
I do. So I have him in six leagues. I have him in our 20-man. I have him in our AL. I have him in Roto, which is 16-man. I have him in three sport, which is 16. Dynasty, which is 16. And Invite, which is 15. So they're all deep leagues. I don't have Juan Mania in any 12s or 10s. I don't think that's a place where you own Juan Mania. But... I don't know. You know, Nate Jones has tried for a little while to get this closing job. He's only had three saves ever. Joachim Soria blows. So I just think at some point, Juan Mania is going to wind up being the closer. And with the very last pick in any of these drafts, I figure I can take on him and he'll just be like the Chris Davinsky of my team for a little bit and just, you know, help me out with ERA and whip until he winds up starting to get saves. So
I like the idea too that they'll just like at some point they'll just be like, the rest of these ain't working. Let's get Mania in here, Nate Jones.
Well, I mean, what do they do? And yeah, that's what they do in closer situations. And his K per nine was very, very high last season. It was 10.5. His ERA was it was a little bit high, but I think that he's going to have a chance to get some saves. And you know it. The very last pick in all of my drafts, you know, if he doesn't work out, I don't mind cutting six shares of Juan Mania.
You might want to be a little bit better of a person, but you make sense because I'm looking here like AL, the 20-man, a 20-man Roto, the Invitational.
This was In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League podcasts. Looking for more? Visit InThisLeague.com right now.